chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. So I'll give you a moment to open that up on your Bibles. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all here this morning. Welcome. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do worship you, Lord God, as Lord of all. We thank you so much that you are the sovereign ruler. You're the creator. You're the one who formed everything we see. You breathe life into our bodies, Lord God. You are awesome. You are majestic. And we just worship you, Lord God. We thank you so much that you are the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. And we pray, Lord God, that as we just share this time together as your people, that you would impress on our hearts those truths, that you would open our eyes, Lord God, to see more of who you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to invite the kids up, if there's any kids here today. I've got some things here that you might want to see. So there's some space here down the front. Come on down. Mums and dads, if you want to come with them, that's good too. On our Lord's Supper Sundays, we like to sort of do this as a big family, have everyone in. So it's great, kids. You guys can be in church today as well. Isn't it? It's exciting. And I have got some things to show you here. So that'll be fun, hopefully. And we like on our Lord's Supper Sundays to think about a different thing that God has done for us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And sometimes we think about how that shows how much he loves us. He loves us this much to come all the way and die for us. Sometimes we think about how it means we can be forgiven and be friends with God because Jesus died on the cross for us. Sometimes we think about how it satisfied God's anger because he was cross about sin. He was not happy about sin. And sometimes we think about how Jesus, just like you, children, learn to be obedient to your parents. Jesus had to be obedient to his Father, and he showed us that the most by dying for us on the cross. Sometimes we think about the victory that Jesus won on the cross, that he defeated sin and Satan. So there's lots and lots of things we learn about Jesus when we think about what he did for us on the cross. But today, I've got a question, because I've been thinking. Sometimes I do actually think, and I've got this question, and I'm wondering if you kids might be able to help me. Yeah, you might need your mums and dads. We'll see how we go. But here's my question. Does anyone know where this is in the world? Perhaps you've travelled around. Yep. It's Egypt. Yeah, that's right. I've got another picture here. So who knows what these things are? The pyramids. Wow, you guys are brave, no? So this is Egypt, ancient Egypt, the pyramids. I've got another picture here. Oh, wow, look. There's a picture of like a pharaoh, the king. Yeah, on that one. So they're pretty big things. But do you know how these were made? Anyone know how these were made? Did you know they actually used slaves? So that Pharaoh, the king, he got people, actually God's people, the Israelites, to do all the work for him and to carry all the bricks and to build those ginormous big pyramids. So do you think that would have been a lot of work? Yeah, a lot of work and really, really hard. And these slaves, they didn't have a choice. They couldn't say, today I want to go to the botanical gardens, or today I want to go up the mountain and see the snow. They just had to do what the king told them, and all the king told them to do was to work, 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 to do all the jobs. And actually, it's not just a cartoon, here's a picture, this is a really, really old picture. It actually shows all the people doing all the jobs as slaves. They didn't have any choice about it, they had to do all the work, lift all the things, carry all the things, and it would have been very, very hard and very horrible to be a slave. Does anyone know the story in the Bible that tells us about this when this happened? There's actually a story in the Bible that tells us about this. Yeah. That's right, it's a story about Moses. And I've got some picture Bibles at home. This one doesn't have any words. So I quite like this one. So this one here, like you can see here, there's the Pharaoh, the king, and here all the people doing all the jobs. This guy's looks really nasty. He must be the boss, so telling him what to do and to carry all those bricks. And God told Moses, you're right, Moses, would you go and tell these people, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go? And God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, didn't he? And said, Moses, go. So Moses said, yep, I'm going to go, and I'm going to say to the king, let them go. So what did the king say? He said no, and he said no over and over and over again. And so God said all these different plagues, flies and sort of sores and frogs and even darkness. And look, you know what it says in the Bible? It says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. He kept on saying no. And God hardened his heart because God wanted to show how big and strong and powerful he was to deliver his people from slavery. From slavery. So there we go. God rescued them, didn't he? He took them out of Egypt and they got to the Red Sea and all the army came chasing them. And there they were. They were stuck. I thought they were stuck, but God rescued me. He told Moses, lift up the staff. And they walked through, can you remember, on dry ground. What a great rescue. A rescue for sinners. There they go, like so many pictures. And then, yep, they were defeated, and hooray, they made it to the other side. So God rescued all these people from slavery. So that's my first point. If you're a bigger kid and you're taking notes, I forgot to put the words up because I'm just about pictures this morning. So my first big point, if you're a note taker, is that Israel was in slavery. Can you write that? Or God's people were slaves in Egypt. Okay, so God's people were slaves in Egypt. And that's right, it's a story of the Exodus where God took his people out. There's a picture. They did a movie of it, and I thought maybe that's a bit what it looked like. God's people coming out across out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and hooray! They're no longer slaves anymore, they're free. So they get to choose now what they do. So wonderful, they're no longer slaves anymore. And God gave Israel a special celebration, a special way to remember this. Do you know? It was a special meal they had to do. Anyone know? There's a big word. It was something called the... Do you have any ideas? It starts with P. Yeah. The Passover. And so God said, this is an amazing thing, and I want you to keep remembering this and tell your children and your grandchildren. And every now and then have these special meals that say, let's remember that God ransomed us. He bought us out of slavery. He rescued us. And so they had to have the Passover. But do you know what happened? God rescued them and they were free. But eventually they forgot. They stopped remembering that God had saved them. And they actually went back into slavery. They kept on sinning. And God said, you're not listening to me anymore. You're going to go back into slavery. And here's a picture. This actually was from a little bit later on. But it shows the point. that God's people went back into slavery. They took all of the things out of God's temple and they took them to Babylon, and God's people were back in slavery. So I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking hard about this week. And I'm thinking, what has all this stuff about slavery got to do with you and me? Have you been wondering that? Because do you find that your parents are sometimes getting you to build pyramids in your backyard? Any of you have to build pyramids? You're not in slavery? Do you think any of us are in slavery? No, I don't think we are. But yeah, I've been wondering about this. We're not really in slavery like the Israelites, are we? We don't have to lift all these bricks and things. We get to go to school and do fun things. But do you know what? I was reading in the Bible this week, and there's a special verse in Romans, which we read out before, that Eden read out. And it says, don't you know that you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So here's my second point for the bigger kids taking notes, is that Israel was in slavery. That's the first point. But do you know what? All of us are actually slaves. So we're either, the Bible says, we're either slaves to sin, or we're slaves to obedience. So we're actually all slaves. That's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? Because we don't really think about ourselves as being slaves. But do you know what happens? Sometimes you and me, we do the wrong thing, don't we? And sometimes, you know, we try really hard to keep doing the right thing, but sometimes we make the mistakes, don't we? And we sometimes we actually do the wrong thing when we know it's the wrong thing. And we disobey, and it doesn't lead to happiness, does it? When we do the wrong thing, it makes us feel sad, and makes others feel sad, and makes God feel sad as well. Because we actually find, as we grow up, we realise that we're actually slaves to sin, all of us. But that verse said that we could be also a slave to righteousness. We could do lots of good things. Who would like to be a slave of sin? No, good choice. Would you like to be a slave of obedience and righteousness and doing the right thing? I think this lady looks much happier than that other guy. You know, it'd be great to be a slave of obedience, wouldn't it? To be able to choose to do the right thing. Because, you know, sin is a little bit like, it is a bit like a slave master, because it's very, very strong and it takes away our power to choose. And that verse actually says it leads to death. And when we sin, sometimes we get into habits and we keep doing the same thing over and over again and we get stuck. The Bible talks a little bit like being tangled up in sin. And I was doing a little bit of an experiment this week to see, you know, getting tangled up. And I thought, if I got a bit of cotton, it's not very strong, is it? You can break a bit of cotton. But if I tie my fingers, you know, I couldn't even break one loop of cotton. Like that. And sin is a bit like that. It doesn't look very strong, but actually it does tangle us up. And before we know it, we're stuck in slavery to sin. But we don't want to be in slavery to sin. We want to be in slavery to obedience. So this has got me thinking, because I'm wondering, how can I go from being a slave to sin, which makes people sad, makes God sad, how can I be a slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness and life? How can we do that? Do you think it's possible? Or are we just stuck? Well, here's the thing. This is why today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is why we have the bread and the juice. Because just like God's people in the Old Testament remembered how God rescued them from slavery with his big, strong arms, and he delivered them and he rescued them out of slavery, we have a special meal today to remember that God has rescued us from slavery. And the word that we're using today to describe that, to think about that, is the word ransom. So if you're a big kid and you're taking notes, Israel was in slavery. We are in slavery, but Jesus has paid our ransom. Point three, Jesus has paid our ransom. So here it is in the Bible verse. And this is a great Bible verse. You know, you might start off reading a Bible like this that just has pictures, and they're great. And I couldn't find the story where God's people went back into slavery. I had to go to another Bible. This has a few more words. And they went back into slavery, you know, again, when they disobeyed. It was horrible. And so I had to go to another Bible. But now I read this Bible, and it's got lots of words. And one day, I think as you kids are growing up, you're going to get a Bible like this, and you'll be able to read, maybe you'll read the Gospel of Mark. It tells the story of Jesus' life. And, you know, as you're reading the story, it's actually the shortest gospel. So it's a good one to start as you're growing up to read the Bible. And when you're reading the Gospel of Mark, it tells us one time Jesus says, I'm going to the cross to die. And we're thinking, what? Why is Jesus going to the cross to die? And then later on he tells us again, I'm going to the cross to die. And we're thinking, why is Jesus going to the cross to die? And he tells us three times. And finally, in this verse, right towards the end of Mark, he tells us the big why. So this is a really important verse in Mark. And he tells us that the Son of Man, he didn't come to be served, but to serve. So he actually made himself like a slave himself. And to give his life, it says, a ransom. A ransom, a ransom. He's going to pay the price. Normally, if you ransom something, you have to pay lots and lots of money to buy it back. And that's normally how you do it. But Jesus, in that verse, it says he paid by giving his life, a ransom, so that we could be free. He had to give his whole life so that we could be free and we could celebrate today. And do you know what this means? This means that we now have a new master. So we used to be slaves to sin, but because Jesus died on the cross, we can actually be slaves of obedience, and which leads to righteousness. Jesus is our new master. So this is really incredible, kids. It's really amazing. The mums and dads and the teenagers and the grandmas and granddads, you know, this is an amazing thing, because you know what it means? It means that Jesus owns my body. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me anymore. Sin used to be the master and tell me what to do, but now my body, every part of my body, it belongs to Jesus. And he's now the king of my life and my body and what I do. And so it says in Romans, in that Bible reading we had, it says, do not let sin reign. Don't let sin be the boss anymore. Because sin says, I think you should do this wrong thing. And you think, maybe I should, but no. Because Jesus owns my body now. So it says, don't let sin be the boss, don't let sin be the master in your body so that you obey its evil desire. So don't let sin be the master, but instead offer every part of yourself to God as an instrument for righteousness, for doing the right thing. For sin shall no longer be your master. So that's amazing, amazing stuff, because it means that we can move from being slaves to sin, always doing the wrong thing, getting stuck doing the wrong thing, keep on doing the wrong thing. We can now be slaves of righteousness. And Jesus actually gives us the opportunity to choose, and he frees us so that we can choose to do the right thing. So I'm going to pray for us all now, because actually that's really hard, and we need God's help to choose to not be slaves of sin and to be slaves of obedience. Let's pray. Will you close your eyes with me and sit still while we pray to God? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you love us so much, that you sent Jesus to be the ransom, to pay the big price of Jesus' life so that we could be free. No longer slaves to sin, but free. We can be able to choose to do the right thing. Please, Lord God, I pray for these kids. I pray for the mums and dads, and the teenagers, and the grandmas and granddads. Lord, help us all not to let sin reign, but to be obedient to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've rescued us. Thank you that we can celebrate now in this special meal to remember how you rescued us and ransomed us. You bought us back. You paid the price. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.